starting at verse 8. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them.
Please sit down and welcome again. As Sam said, my name's Kev. I'm the senior minister of Euston Church. So good to have you with us as we continue our Christmas celebrations. Glory to God in the highest, we heard, and on earth, peace. Peace might feel like the last thing you associate with Christmas, the crowds at the shops, fights with the family. You know, someone did academic research. They've worked out that the average family will have 5 arguments on Christmas Day, with the first one beginning at 10:13 a.m. precisely. So get ready for battle. And then there's the meltdown at the nativity plays. If you're from overseas, you may not have encountered the meticulous planning, weeks of rehearsals that go in as school kids recreate the events that we've just read and sung about, usually accompanied by grumpiness, foot stamping, and rivalry. That's just the mums and dads. You think I'm joking? Here's a newspaper article. This is a report of a real school nativity. Peace on earth. 2 women fight over the best place to film the play, sending a small child dressed as an angel flying. It's the Daily Mail, so I'm sure there's no exaggeration in their reporting. But they've even got video footage of the mums jostling one another in an angry tussle before they suddenly fall to the floor. Well, let's zoom in on that final reading briefly. Because into the chaos of our planet, an army of angels announces on earth peace. Do you believe them? Do you believe in angels? Well, for one thing, they're not chubby babies in golden nappies. And Luke, the gospel writer, isn't asking us to suspend reality for Christmas. Even in the Bible, angel visits are rare. The shining glory of God is rare, which is the point. A totally unique fanfare, entirely logical, to announce a totally unique birth. It must have been quite an experience for those shepherds in the field. They were there as usual on the late shift. I wonder if they ever got a bit philosophical on a starry night. Is there more to life than these woolly lumps? Does anyone out there notice or like me or care? Well, they certainly got their answer. I don't know if you caught the Northern Lights a few weeks ago. Did you see them? That we had increased aurora activity in the UK, even in London. That red bit in the middle, they call it Steve. That's its name, Steve. Sorry if you're here and your name is Steve, but I feel that something that beautiful deserves a more exotic name than Steve. I suppose Kev would have been worse. Anyway, how is this angel show, as described in chapter 2, for a sensory experience? It's shiny and noisy and multitudinous as heaven and earth wonderfully collide. Their message? Well, that a person from the realm of heaven has, more quietly, punched his way through to our world. Sentence 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. festive words. Back then, that sentence was mutiny, because there already was a Lord. Caesar Augustus mentioned at the start of chapter 2, this is all taking place in the real world of politics and empire. They talked about the peace of Rome, Pax Romana. Augustus takes the credit for that radical era of stability and order, even called him savior. However, a monumentally superior Lord and Savior who would shape not only empires but eternity, he's just entered the cowshed. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. It's really Jesus' mission statement. And whether or not you're skeptical of angels, anyone with their eyes open might be skeptical about the message, peace on earth. This picture is a Banksy. Banksy is a graffiti artist. He's a national treasure here in the UK, even though we don't know who he is. Banksy secretly creates awesome works of street art, sometimes on the side of houses. Apparently, it can add thousands of pounds to the value of a property if you've been graffitied by Banksy. Well, this next one he painted in Jerusalem a few years ago. And isn't that just horribly resonant in 2024? Peace on earth. Note the star doubles up as an asterisk. Terms and conditions apply. Now, we need to be clear what this peace offer means. Jesus hasn't come singing, "Happy Christmas, war is over now," John Lennon style. And yet, a real peace that you can experience on earth today. Second half of verse 14 explains, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. This is a peace between people and God. It describes a place of shalom where all is well between you and your maker. I wonder if that's something you think about much, that we're not naturally at peace with God. The Bible describes humanity's connection to him as, well, more like those fights from the school nativity play. See, the world is God's production, but we all want to shove him to the sides and make ourselves center stage. I know those are my instincts. Could say the opposite of verse 14 is us naturally, that we don't give him glory, so he's not pleased with us, which means instead of peace, war. Maybe you feel that's putting it too strongly, so I may not have spoken to God for a while, but there are no hard feelings, right? You spot the shepherds' reaction when they caught a tiny glimpse of the glory of God in sentence 9. It says they were filled with fear. Do you fear God? He is holy. We are sinful. His world, we've pushed him to the sides. Should we fear the consequences of treating him so badly? Maybe you do fear God. Perhaps you don't. Either way, an army from heaven should be terrible news for failed humanity. Do we feel the sheer relief when their message is, fear not? Exactly 40 years ago, terrorists tried to blow up the British government. I think there's a picture of the hotel. That's what was left of it. The Prime Minister and the Cabinet were staying at that hotel in Brighton. They were all fine. But in this next picture, the woman on the right, her father was an MP who did die. And she was interviewed on the BBC for a documentary a few weeks ago to mark the anniversary. It was tragic and fascinating, because she mentioned almost in passing at the end that she's met with the bloke on the left, her father's killer, over 300 times in pursuit of reconciliation. Just wow. Now that is some kind of mini metaphor for the much more astonishing way that God has reached out. I'm not suggesting that we're terrorists, but this announcement to the shepherds is shocking as heaven reaches out in friendship to an enemy world. You need to read on in Luke's gospel to make sense of it all. You know, one of my vicar angsts is that if we only hear the Christmas readings, we've really only engaged with one or two chapters of the greatest story ever told. See, the one the angel points to as being wrapped in cloths and laid in a manger will later be wrapped in cloths and laid in a tomb. Rome's leaders shed a huge amount of blood in pursuit of a very fragile peace. Here it is the leader himself who will die to reconcile heaven and earth. God comes in peace. Now, I'm conscious that this may not be the easiest thing to get excited about. Peace with God might feel like insurance. You know, you're glad you're covered, but it doesn't make you go, woohoo. Especially at this time of year when there's so much else to get excited about. We're nearing peak excitement in our household. Even the pet rabbits are excited. If you missed it this morning, they were out there for the nativity play. They were there in the stable. Not sure that it's very biblical, the rabbit thing, but it was the only wildlife we could find. Anyway, you'd have to read on to see why peace with God is so exciting and precious. Is this just nice thoughts for this time of year? Or does this message tap into the deepest needs of your soul? See, peace with God is about forgiveness for those who'll admit their failure. It's the opposite of the whole Santa thing. Have you been good? You know, one child wrote this in their letter to Santa. Dear Santa, there are three little boys who live in our house. There's Jeffrey, David, and Norman. Jeffrey's good some of the time. David's good some of the time. Norman is good all of the time. P.S. I am Norman. Now, freedom to keep it real with God about the ways that we've not been good, rather than justifying ourselves, doing others down. So much of life and religion is about that. Peace with God means security to go to sleep, knowing you're forgiven, that all is well with your Maker. Wouldn't that be good? And peace with God, that forgiveness from God, unlocks a future with God, free to meet God and be embraced as a friend, not an enemy to be cast away as we deserve. Do you know, even enemy death won't be able to shatter the peace under Jesus' future leadership. To really know what eternity has in store for you, wouldn't that be good? Peace with God is also the path to peace between each other. Because if God has extended that hand of friendship to me, well, maybe then I can imagine a journey towards reaching out in love to those that I've been wronged by. Israel, Gaza, it's tragic, isn't it? You know, they all need Jesus. That's ultimately what I pray for them. They need the true reconciliation that only comes through him. Peace with God doesn't pretend all is well with the world. Lots not to say ho, ho, ho about in our families and circumstances. And let me say, if you're someone trying to trust God but struggling, that's a very painful place to be in. Remember, though, the shepherds found it all happened just as they'd been told. Just as the prophets anticipated Christ for centuries and he came just as they foretold. God has a long track record of coming good. Just as certainly he will come again to bring full peace is the promise. Peace among those with whom he is pleased. It could sound like God has favorites. Luke goes on to stress the global reach of this. It's for all people, but it's not automatic. The hand offered in peace has to be responded to for there to be reconciliation. Those with whom he is pleased means anyone humble enough to come to him and admit their need. So as we finish, do you mind if I ask you, what is your response to God's peace offer? The shepherds are the ordinary bods here. Their responses guide us. They go and have a look, verse 15. So have a look, if you haven't looked at this word for a while. Luke's gospel is designed to help skeptics and doubters to be more certain, and many of us have found it does what it says on the tin. Have a look. Make the child known is another response. That's what they do in verse 17. How interesting that by the end of this reading, the ordinary bawds have replaced the angels as the God glorifiers and praisers. Ordinary believers are now God's angel army with good news of great joy to share among the nations. Who can you tell about this child this Christmas? And like those shepherds, we share this news not in a functional way, but from hearts gripped. It's so easy to get bored and blasé at this time of year, isn't it? Another December, another secret Santa, another carol service. Our Maker has come in peace. That's Christmas. Praise God. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Amen.
We're going to respond to what we've heard in prayer. Let's pray. Glory to God in the highest. Our Father, we thank you for this precious message of peace and reconciliation with you and with one another. And we pray that Christmas would just be the start of engaging with your great rescue story. Give us ears to keep hearing. Help us to keep believing. And to keep responding by glorifying you, praising your name, and making you known. And Father, peace on earth is an amazing idea. Lord Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace. You bring reconciliation and healing. And so we pray, please give physical aid and the light of the gospel to all who are suffering, particularly remembering those in Ukraine and Israel and Gaza. And Lord Jesus, Christmas is good news of great joy for all peoples, because you are the Saviour of the whole world that all failed humanity needs. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the Most High, King forever, hear our prayer, receive our praises, and fill our lives this Christmas. Amen.